Most of you know we've been going through a season of sharing our testimonies and what we've learned from what God has done in our life. And I announced last week that, you know, I was going to interrupt that because God's given me a word for you. And I told you then it was a single word, and he needed to develop the rest. So part of the development will probably take place as I open my mouth. So we'll see where that goes. I just realized, too, that, you know, I print everything out in 16 font now, so I can, like, see it, right? But I don't do my notes in 16 font, so I can't read a thing I've written here. So this should be really good, you know? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us humor. I thank you that you've given us the ability to laugh and live and just enjoy you and enjoy one another. And I thank you that you never fail to speak to us. So, Father, just give us the ability to hear. Let our hearts be open to you. Let our ears be open to you. And you just have your way, Holy Spirit, in this place and in your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to start off just talking a little bit about the holiday we've just been through. It really has nothing to do with the word he's given me, but I want to address it. You know, July 4th, I actually love that it was on a Thursday because then we gave everybody Friday off, so it was, you know, a little longer time, but it was the most exhausting thing I've ever been through. You know, I go back to work tomorrow, and work will be more like a vacation than a vacation. So I don't know if you guys experienced that, but activities out of the normal for me, just like, you know, it's like you take a vacation to relax, and you come back, and you need a vacation. But we celebrated our nation's independence, and I was thinking of that. I actually looked up the definitions. Independent means free from outside control, not depending on another's authority, not depending on another for livelihood or sustenance, self-sufficient. And I read the Declaration of Independence just to see what they were saying. And it was really talking about when you've been oppressed so much by government, you have the right to say, I'm no longer submitting myself to this government. But even within it, I found it interesting that they said, under divine providence. We're no longer to submit to that king that oppressed us, but we're going to stay submitted to the king that created us. See, God didn't create us to be independent. We sung a lot about freedom today, and we talk about liberty, and all that is true, but he did not create us to be independent. Disconnect from him and you will die. Declare your independence from him and you will die. How do I know? Look at our nation. They've corrupted the truth of the Declaration of Independence and taken it too far to where it's an uproar to have the Ten Commandments in a government building or in a school. We can't talk about the Bible. You can talk about every other religion except Jesus. We've declared ourselves king. We've declared ourselves Lord. We've declared we don't need God. We can govern ourselves. And what it's brought about is death. All you have to do is look outside the church. The problem is it's also corrupted the church. And the church isn't seen as this bright, shining light that it is meant to be. And I've seen it in this house, and I've seen it in my own life. There's a cry for leadership in this nation. The problem is everyone thinks they're the leader. We don't have to honor, we don't have to submit, we don't have to respect another person just because they have a different view. We no longer hold the office with respect. And we bring that attitude into our service, and then we expect God to move. Well, you know, I don't agree with what the worship leader said, so I'm not going to do that. It's an independent spirit. It's wrong, and it needs to be uprooted from the church. You know what you should do? Don't really know what they're feeling, but I trust God, so I'm diving in. And guess what? When we dive in together, God is faithful to move. He's a God that responds to the hearts of his people. He's a God that responds to the unity of his people. God wants to move. Interdependence, the fact or state of being, or independence, the fact or state of being independent, self-rule. You can't be self-ruled in this place. Why? Because there's only one ruler. So the kingdom of this world has declared independence and taken it so far they no longer acknowledge the Creator unless it gives them some sort of political advantage. But we're not of this world. So quit acting like it. See, in the kingdom of our God, we are interdependent. We are dependent upon Him for our very existence. But we are interdependent upon one another. Why? Because He said, love Him and love your neighbor. The fact is, I can't serve the Lord without you. Why? Because that's how He's ordained it. Cut out most of the parts of my body and I cease to exist. We are the body. We need one another. We need to start appreciating that in each other. Why? What's the laws of the kingdom? Submit to one another. Well, they're the janitor. Submit. Maybe they need help. Honor one another. Love one another. There's different rules in the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's not a hierarchy. We have different roles. Leadership is a role you play. What is it? Serving. If you're not prepared to serve everyone, don't volunteer for leadership, because everyone will look to you to solve every one of their issues. It is serving. You should honor your leaders in every ministry, everywhere, all the time. Why? Because that's what He says to do. In the kingdom of the world, I can say I don't want to. I get to decide everything. In the kingdom of God, I can always say I get to. He opens all kinds. I get to do this. And that should be my attitude. Why? Because I'm no longer led by my own initiative. I'm led by the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who now dwells in me and dwells in you. And that should put an excitement in you to do. It should put an excitement in you to be together. What will God do when two or three gather in His name? He says, I'm there. Okay, enough of the parts that's not my sermon. Okay. We need to raise a standard in this place. And it starts right here. If you think I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. You just get to hear what's going on in my head. I'm challenged to change things. Church can't just be church. If I come to worship the King, it's called a worship service, then I should worship. I love David. Why? Because life sucks, but my soul is going to magnify the Lord. It doesn't matter the circumstance. He's worthy to be praised. And we sing songs about shouting, and we're as quiet as can be. I did shout the other day. I was without a voice for like 3 days. You know, one time I got excited to shout, and I talked to Cheryl later. I said, I lost my breath. She goes, yeah, you're getting a little older. But man, we can't be independent of God. We can't be independent of one another. And expect God to move. So here's I'm getting to the word. Some of you know what I've been going through in life. June was an interesting month for me. I've spent the last 12 years of my life forsaking a lot of things I'd like to do because I was building a business, getting it to the point that I could actually sell it, retire, and do whatever I felt the Lord wanted me to do, like cruise around the world and stuff like that. I can always zoom into the service. You know, I could preach from on deck. Yeah, I'd have enough to do it. And I got a call on June 10th, which was a Sunday, around 5 o'clock. And it was from the daughter of my business partner. And she said, I just got at the hospital. They found my dad unresponsive. And he passed away a few days later when they disconnected life support and stuff. But that word, unresponsive, has been highlighted to me ever since. And I believe it's a word from the Lord for each of us, for us here, and for the church in general. I believe God has been saying, I've been wanting to move in ways you've only read about. I've been wanting to move in your life as you see me move in the lives of people in His Word. I've been wanting to move in your midst like I've moved in the past revivals that you've read about. But I come to my people and I find them unresponsive. Word means not responding to some influence or stimulus. It's interesting that God says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. And it doesn't say everyone lets them in. I think often we get so busy, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, then God will do something. God's been like, been wanting to drive the car for a while, the door's been open, and you haven't jumped in. You're too busy wanting to do all these things where you think you can get me to move. I've been just waiting for you to respond to my move. So I want to talk a little bit about being a responsive people. I know in my own life there's plenty of times I don't respond to a lot of things. And ultimately, God will always challenge me of whether I trust Him. I can look at the person talking. I mean, you can look at me and say, yeah, I saw him the other day and he didn't say hi to me. You know, whatever. And you can miss God speaking through somebody. Look what Jesus said. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why don't we treat each other like that? Why don't we weigh the things each other shares with you? Encouragements, comfort, edification. What are we here for but to build each other up? So, I feel the Lord highlighted different Bible stories that you all know. And I'm not so much going to be speaking on the story about just what a principle the story says to me. Okay? 1 Samuel 3:1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Now, I'm sure you've heard many sermons out of this passage of Scripture. Story goes on. He runs to Eli, says, "What do you say?" Eli, after a couple times, says, "Hey, you know what? It's not me, it's God, and here's how you need to respond," right? What I thought was unique in this is, here's this boy. What was his purpose? He ministered before the Lord at a time that no one was getting anything from God. Yet God was just waiting to move. He positioned himself where the presence of God was, in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called. If you want to be responsive to God, you need to position yourself in his presence. What's interesting in the story to me is he needed help. You think you can do this Christian life alone? Then you're not following the Word of God. You're not called to do this Christian life alone. We all need help. I have found so often, people that need help refuse help. They'll come to you and ask for help, but they will refuse help. They did the same thing to Jesus. I crossed off a bunch of scriptures that I'm not going to go through, but they did the same thing to Jesus. "I'll do this, God. Okay, go sell everything you have." "Oh, I can't do that. Oh, let me go say goodbye. Let me go do this. Let me go." He offered help. They failed in response. Another story, Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What am I saying? I'm saying Mary positioned herself. Was there work to do? Yes. Martha was so concerned about the work, but she never stopped to position herself to see what Jesus actually wanted of her. You have to position yourself. Where was she? At his feet, listening. Don't assume what God wants to do in you and through you when you walk out of this place. Stay at his feet listening. You'd be shocked at the opportunities you have. She chose what was better. Position yourself. Now, I want to touch briefly on two things within that. I want to get us out of this mindset that God doesn't speak or that we don't hear him or all these things. So, under positioning yourself, hearing the Lord. John 10:3 says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep listen. follow him because they know his voice. You are the sheep of his pasture. You know his voice. Well, how do you know? Because you gave your heart to him. You heard him before you even gave your heart to him. You responded to his call. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Don't convince yourself that you don't hear his voice. You may not recognize it because you put it in a box of how you want it to come, but he's speaking to you. May not be audible like you hear my voice. I love the way God deals with me because he will not let it go. It'll be like someone just pushing on a bruise. I can't get away from it. I still feel it. I gotta respond. You know his voice. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So, 2 points here. You hear him and you know him. That leaves you without excuse in how you respond. Is he Lord or are you Lord? It's the only two options. I don't want to. I guess I'm Lord. I had mentioned to my wife what I was going to talk on, and she brought up something, so I put it in here. Because obviously it's something for somebody. Everyone knows the story. John 5, verse 1. "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, those who were in need. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred.'" You all know the story. Angel would come stir the pool, first one in, got their need met, right? God loves first responders. You know, if we had an altar call and only the first one got their need met, I wonder how many would sprint. Push others out of the way. Dive at their feet to stop. "While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." You say, what do you see here? Yeah, God loves first responders. But God loves people that will ask for help. Jesus didn't go stir the water, carry the guy in, keep everybody else out, tossed him in. He just met his need. What am I saying? Jesus responded to the need at the moment, when for 38 years, he couldn't do it on his own. It Jesus positioned himself next to him, asked him a question, and he responded, and his need was met. So how are we supposed to respond? I love various stories. Again, I'm just probably taking too long. We are to respond in two ways. We are to respond in obedience, and we are to respond in faith. You know, one of the problems in society is no one knows how to follow. Everyone thinks they're a leader, and they put that up on some sort of pedestal, and that this person gets to tell other people what to do, and I'm not going to do that. You don't know how to follow, you have no ability to lead. None. Greatest among you is the servant of all. That's what we call leadership in the kingdom of God. I've learned that when people come up to me and say, I have a leading, I feel the Lord's telling me something. Let's throw it out there. Why? Because I want God to move. It's really that simple. The only question, once it's laid out before you, is how you respond. Do you respond in obedience and faith? Luke 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Oh, that's a pretty good greeting. But Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I want to say something to you guys. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. No, you need to receive that. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." And the Lord's servant, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. She responded in obedience and faith. And if you don't think getting pregnant without having any sort of physical relationship isn't an act of faith, let it be to me. How you say, that's faith. And if you understand the story and the ridicule and everything that came with this, she was obeying something that would ostracize her. Sometimes we have trouble standing up when they say stand up to worship. I don't feel like it. My soul will magnify the Lord. Matthew 4:18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Luke 5:27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. You know, I've always heard these passages. I never looked at the response. You know, I believe if we position ourselves properly, have faith that we hear from the Lord, when someone comes up with a word of encouragement from the Lord, we can respond properly to it. Even when it radically changes the direction of our lives. How do you respond? How many times has Jesus come knocking? What you doing today? Want to hang out? How about we go over here? No, I don't want to do that. No. How many times? I've known people that live their lives afraid that they grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a big thing that grieves the Holy Spirit. It's, I want to hang out with you today, and you say no. At some point, you'll become dull to hearing him. At some point, you'll become dull to his move. At some point, you won't even realize his presence isn't what it was because you've left it. We need to position ourselves. We need to hear. We need to know. And we need to respond. People know this story. Acts 1. Verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. What was the command? Wait. Who got the move of God? Those that obeyed in faith. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to the rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And there's more to the story, but you know it. What's relevant is obedience and faith makes you participate in what God is promising. Because only those that waited received the promise. And I'm winding up. Matthew 14, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So my question to you is, put yourself in the boat. Why were the other disciples unresponsive? You know, if I get all the kids in here, set them up here, and do something that's fun for one of them, every one of them is going to be asking me if they can do it too. Why wasn't their response, "If Peter can come, why can't I come? Me too, Lord. Me too." Why were they unresponsive? I believe God wants to move in these days. I believe God wants to move today. Question is, are we going to position ourselves to hear, and are we going to obey in faith? Stand with me. Don't be found unresponsive. I'm going to hear that word for a long time. They found my father unresponsive, and it led to his death. You have a choice. It's how he made you. Don't be found unresponsive. So here's the choice today. If you put some music on, I believe Jesus' words are really simple. Come. It's up to you to respond.